Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A place they don't win often, a place they have won just once under Mike Tomlin. Sunday could be the second, and to keep a little bit of pressure off, it might need to be. The Steelers meet the Patriots in Foxborough Sunday afternoon, and after one loss, there is already some hysteria in Pittsburgh. I think it can be a little premature, but the best way to cure everything is winning, which needs to be done on Sunday. Donnie Football with you tonight on 93.7 The Fan until 7:30. We have Thursday Night Football on the airwaves. You heard Joel in his headline there, Dolphins and Bills, an 8:15 kickoff. You can catch it all right here, starting at 7:30, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. And that is Joel Nelson behind the glass tonight. We will get into some best bets later and what we like about the Thursday night game on tap. It is a very big spread, the Bills hosting the Miami Dolphins. A little ride on the coordinator carousel as well. Both Arthur Smith and Terrell Austin spoke today. We will react to some of their words. Don't really have the time to listen to those guys in their entirety, because that would be over 30 minutes of content, just them. So we will dive into their press conferences a little bit, break down some of what they said, and move along. Your calls are always welcome at 412-928-9370. You can share your thoughts on the game Sunday and your feelings going into Foxborough. Again, 412-928-9370 if you want to hop on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, which is Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And you, of course, know that that same number is of the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I don't think this team is bound for 5-12 or 6-11. I'm still pretty hesitant on saying 7-10, somewhere in that ballpark. I'm not seeing that happening. I don't think it's in their DNA, and it's certainly not in their vocabulary. Do I think that would be the worst thing? No. I said that all offseason, that this team could benefit well from a genuinely bad year. But we knew the Steelers would never be that team. And I don't think one loss has turned this season into a tailspin. And I don't think they will make what happened on Sunday a true season-long pattern. It's tough for me to look at a Week 3 game and label it as a must win, especially when the team does not have a win already under their belt. And they are actually right where I thought they would be at this point. Just swap the games. I thought the Steelers would lose the opener against the Jets, and I thought they would bounce back with a nice win in the home opener. That wasn't the case. They beat the Jets at MetLife in dramatic fashion. They turned around and lost at Acrisure Stadium to open the 2025 home schedule. and they lost to a Sam Darnold-led team by 2 scores. Not pretty. So I don't want to say must win. I know that's easy talk. That's an easy phrase to use in this industry. It helps build the game up, the importance every week. But in reality, a loss puts them at 1-2. Does it put them behind the eight ball a little bit? Sure. Does it mean they would have lost to two teams that are fringe playoff teams at best with either average or very young quarterbacks? Sure, absolutely. My fear is also a little bit different because it's how those games have gone. And more specifically, how the defense has played. We knew the offense would take some lumps. We are kind of programmed to see bad offense considering what we've had in the last, 5 years? You had the shell of Ben Roethlisberger in 2021, even though that was probably the best since now. The Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph years were not fun. I mean, Rudolph had that 3-game stretch that was a lot of fun, but it was only 3 games. Russell Wilson last year, a mix of Justin Fields last year. Okay, those guys did some good things, but it got very ugly very quickly. This defense is a major issue. They haven't even faced a good team or good offense yet, and this is how they look. They made Justin Fields look good. They made Sam Darnold look good. Are those guys good? I wouldn't put them in that category. And I was a Justin Fields defender. I wanted to see the Steelers just bring Justin Fields back. Maybe there was something there they could untap. But I'm certainly not throwing him in the good category. He looked great against them. Check what he did against the Bills in week 2. Sam Darnold, who has been a journeyman. Yeah, he has a high draft pedigree. I get that. He had a really good season in Minnesota in 2024, but I wouldn't say he's overly special. He's not going to be an MVP winner anytime soon. And that's how they look against these guys. Imagine them when they play Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, or Buffalo, a team that plays tonight with Josh Allen, or Detroit with that offense that just exploded for 50-plus points. And I'm leaving some teams out there. They still do have some time to right the ship here. They should be getting their top pick, Derek Harmon, back relatively soon. Even an outside chance that it's this week, possibly next week in Dublin, would they have him make his debut there? I don't know. Otherwise, they would have to wait until week 6 after the bye week for us to see Derek Harmon. And does that fix everything? I'm not sure. That's a lot to ask of a rookie to come right in and basically save this defense that has been a disaster. Because they have more issues than just that. I know it starts up front, but they seem to have issues at every single level of their defense. Guys getting blown off the ball. Linebackers getting eaten up. Corners that, given the scheme, are facing an uphill battle of age and speed and the fact that they are just out of position at times. Battles on all 3 levels. I do think there are a couple of changes that I would make. First, I would play Y.A. Black a little bit more at nose. Does that solve everything? No, and there's certainly no guarantee that he's even great there. But Keanu Benton is clearly out of position, and he just gets blown off the ball consistently. A player that we were high on after year one, thought would be a breakout candidate in year two, now looks like a bust in year three. I think they should play Y.A. Black more at the nose. I think they should play Daniel Equale more at the nose. Those guys at least provide more size, and they would stand a better chance at eating up some blocks. Would they be great? That's hard to say. I can't guarantee that. They don't really have a Casey Hampton at their disposal, but I think it could give them a better chance. I also want to see more of Jack Sawyer. I think he's limited as a player to a degree. I mean, he was a mid-round pick, but he looked like he grew up quite a bit from week one to week two, and we hear that around the NFL. You see the most growth with your team from week one to week two. Not many guys on the Steelers roster or on their defense can say that. I think he can. Limited action for Sawyer in week one, and out of necessity due to the Alex Highsmith injury, a lot of snaps for Sawyer in week two, and I thought he was one of their better players on that side of the ball. He offers himself as a good edge setter against the run. He has good size in that part of the game. And a lot of the struggles with this defense have been there against the run. They gave up 182 to the Jets. They've given up 299 yards total in their first two games this season. Kenneth Gainwell had the game that Kenneth Walker had. Kenneth Walker had 8 yards per carry the other day. So that has been a struggle. And I also think that Sawyer can bring a little bit more than he gets credit for in the pass game. But Nick Herbig, who will play a lot in this one, he kind of specializes there. Another bullet point, play Cole Holcomb more in place of Peyton Wilson. Wilson has arguably been the worst player on their defense. The man is a downright liability through 2 weeks. Keanu Benton has been really bad. Peyton Wilson is right there with him. His specialty is supposed to be against the pass. How has that gone so far? He's been terrible. We know Patrick Queen won't be the guy coming off the field, so I think less is more with Wilson right now. I think that sprinkle Peyton Wilson in, absolutely. It's not like you should take away the guy's helmet or not play him at all. He should play. We should see more Cole Holcomb in this game on Sunday. Jawan Bentley just simply won't be ready yet. They haven't even signed the guy to the active roster, but eventually he could be a player that gets worked into the mix. And I know those are only really 3 points. More Y.A. Black, more Jack Sawyer, more Cole Holcomb. But the big picture problem here won't change, and that is the coaching that needs to drastically improve over the course of the season, because these first 2 weeks have been ugly. A lot of what you see ultimately goes back on coaching. The players could absolutely be better, but the man in charge, and it isn't Terrell Austin, puts these guys in a lot of bad situations. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the conversation. Would love to get your thoughts on the Steelers going into this game in Foxborough, a place they have won most recently in 2008. Mike Tomlin is 1-5 in the 6 games in New England in his Steelers career. 17 years it has been since Pittsburgh has won a game at New England. I'd love to hear your thoughts at 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan. That is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll take your calls. Coming back, we will also hear from both the offensive and defensive coordinator of this team. We'll get into some game picks and best bets for Thursday night football before we are done as well. But 412-928-9370 is the number to get involved. We'll get to you coming up next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
93.7 The Fan will showcase a different community each Saturday through the Youth Football Showcase with a special visit from members of the fan staff. Do you want 93.7 The Fan to visit your game? Email youthsports@937thefan.com with your group name, your group's main contact info, and potential dates. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, Pelman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. Donnie Football with you tonight on 93.7 The Fan until 7:30. We do have the NFL on Westwood One presenting Thursday Night Football, Dolphins and Bills. Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass, and we are taking some of your calls at 412-928-9370 before we get into what some of the quotes were from the coordinators today. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. Alex will kick us off. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how we doing tonight? Just about to get a slice of pizza here at JNS in Natrona Heights. Free ads here, but love it. Hey, so what I'm wondering is, you know, after week one, I was so excited. I was thinking soupy, I'm not going to lie. Week two, I'm a little nervous. Now, week three, if we get a similar result that we did this past week, do we panic? And if we don't panic, when do we start to panic? I mean, Rodgers, he's old. He shows some signs of greatness and some signs of an old guy throwing football. So, in your opinion, do we panic if we get a bad L this week? And if not, when do we?
What would you say is a bad L for you, Alex?
I mean, I would say giving up 30-plus points and not putting up 20. So anywhere like 35-17, 40-22, stuff like that, you know, where a couple score difference.
Yeah, okay, so something kind of like what we saw this past Sunday, and I appreciate the call, Alex. I do think if they would go in there and they would get beat down like they used to against Tom Brady and against Bill Belichick Patriot teams, I think, first off, I think there's already some panic with people, and I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit panicked about the defense. Not so much the whole team, but the defense has really concerned me through these first two games. But if they go in there and they lose the game, let's say by that score, what did he say there, Joel? 35-17. If they would go in there and lose a game like that to a team that, let's be honest, I think at best New England is a 9 or 10 win team, like a fringe wild card team. I know they've been a lot of people's sexy playoff pick this year. I do think panic mode would set in for a lot of people. My answer was going to be if they had a close loss, they're still okay. Not happy about it, but it's not as if they are in a situation that they cannot overcome. I think if they would lose the next week, if they lose in Dublin, in a game where they are very likely to face Carson Wentz and the Minnesota Vikings, if they lose that game, if their defense continues to look the same way, if they go into their bye week 1-3 and they have losses to teams that were quarterbacked by Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Drake May. I get they were all high draft picks, but none of those guys as of right now would I consider to be above like a middle tier player. Then yeah, that's a little bit of panic mode for me. The defense is what the big story is. Because I think we are just accustomed and we are okay with seeing the offense struggle a little bit. We are also very used to seeing the defense win them some games that they don't have business winning. The defense has to start making some plays. Because what is going to be their answer when they play Lamar Jackson, when they play Josh Allen, when they play Jordan Love, Justin Herbert? You can keep going down that list of quarterbacks that they play in the second half of the season. 412-928-9370. Josh is next. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, I was at the game, and I told my 10-year-old son, and I told him, as soon as Renegade was played, there wasn't one Steeler on the sideline that got pumped up. All the fans got pumped up, but that Seahawk team was so fired up hearing Renegade. And then I told him right then and there, I said, hey, the Steelers are losing. We might as well just go home. Because they have there's no drive.
Did you guys go home? Did you beat that traffic? That is like an ultimate dad move.
No, we stayed until the end. But like it was just like so it was so bad I knew right away. I mean, I played sports my life. I was a D1 wrestler. And I know that as soon as you lose your fire, you're done. And they lost the fire as soon as Renegade was played.
Josh, I appreciate the call. I do think that was a bad look. I was also at the game. I happened to be relatively close to that visiting sideline. And it did surprise me a bit. I have seen in the past teams, you know, get a little pumped up themselves when Renegade plays. It's not like those early days when Renegade came around in the early 2000s and teams did fear that a little bit because they knew, yeah, we're going to see a defense that has James Harrison and James Ferrier and Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark and Aaron Smith and Casey Hampton. You could just go up and down the list of names of guys they would run into, who would also not just tell everybody they were a great defense, they would actually go out and do it. That was also nice about those 2000s defenses. But you see something like that on Sunday, and it was wild. The Seahawks, if you were not at the game, I don't know if they showed this on TV, the Seahawks were more pumped up about Renegade being played than the Steelers were. And they were just about as pumped up as the fans were. And then you see Sam Darnold and that Seattle offense go right down the field on them, and they cap it with that Kenneth Walker touchdown, which made a little piece of NFL history. They were just happy to kick the field goal. Kenneth Walker took it in for 6. They put the game away. Not hitting the same anymore. It is weird. 412-928-9370. Johnny is in Squirrel Hill. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, Donnie. How you doing, man? Great show.
Thank you.
Glad to be on with you. Yeah, you haven't gotten to it yet, but I think Terrell Austin completely embarrassed himself today using that type of language. I mean, how does Mr. Rooney put up with that? It's like, why doesn't he do his job? He's blaming the players when they're out of position. And I know you're going to talk about that, but that's an embarrassment for the family. As far as I'm concerned.
Go ahead, Johnny.
No, I was going to say, and I mean, I'll get off real quick because I know you have other callers, but the only hope we have is there's not a lot of good quarterbacks, especially now that Burrow's out. I mean, you just look around the league, there's so much mediocrity. And I know Joe Starkey talks about tanking. He wants to tank for, you know, to get a quarter. Who are you going to pick now? Arch Manning, Drew Aller? Like, you know, are those guys really the answer? We obviously don't know. You don't exactly just buy a franchise quarterback at Walmart. You know, you have to develop them. And we don't have a lot of great history doing that. So the idea of tanking doesn't make any sense to me, too, because it is a crapshoot And there's not many good quarterbacks in the league. That is something we can hope eventually pans itself out for us.
And Johnny, you bring up a point there about those college guys at the end. And I do think it's been an interesting development over the first few weeks of the college football season. Because we had, the guys had Steve Palazzolo on earlier from the 33rd team. And they brought up the college quarterback so far. This 2026 draft class that has been very hyped up. And listen, I was absolutely part of that because my mindset was, well, it's a pretty loaded class. It seems like everybody is high on these guys across the board. It's not a weak one like 2025 was or what 2022 was. And those guys have left a lot of meat on the bone. Arch Manning has not looked good. Lenoris Sellers has been electric at times, but he hasn't been great. Garrett Nussmeier, kind of the same thing. Drew Aller, I would say more of the same thing. I mean, he's beaten up on the crappy teams, and even then he hasn't looked great in all of those games. We'll see how he does against the big dogs that he faces. One of them will be next weekend. But that class not looking quite as good as what it did on paper before the season started. 412-928-9370. Andrew is in Monaco. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how you doing, Donnie?
Good. What do you got, man?
Hey, I just wanted to say that I think this week will be another close game. I mean, that's all we know as Steeler fans. I think that the defense will look slow and that you're going to be like, in the first half, you're going to be like, man, who is this at quarterback? Dre May looks like, you know, prime Tom Brady out here. But I think one or two takeaways at the end of the game will decide the game. And I also think that the main problem is that just the defensive schemes aren't where they need to be in 2025.
The scheme has been just as much of an issue. I had multiple guys on last night. Nick Faribault, John Ledger, Derek Bell, you know, guys that really know their stuff. And they said, yeah, the players could absolutely be better, but there are multiple reasons in terms of the coaching that have failed these guys on all levels. Whether it's a guy out of position from the start or just how they are facing certain alignments, how they are facing certain formations, it hasn't been pretty from the coaching side of things either. 50-minute mark on the Fan. That is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Let's listen in to a little bit of what Terrell Austin and Arthur Smith had to say. We will start with T.A., the D.C.
Times you were that close on blitzes that they ended up getting played mm-hmm. off. Did you feel like it was almost there?
Yeah, but almost doesn't do much for us, you know. Almost gets them first downs. But I did think some of the execution of our pressures up front were really good. We got what we wanted. We're able to get in and get some hits on the quarterback, but we just, you know, we did our rushing coverage. All that stuff has to work together. And right now we're just a little bit off in that area.
What gets it?
Well, we just, again, it's rush and coverage. So if we're having the good stunts and we're working the good movement up front, then our coverage has to be tighter in the back end. And then, you know, sometimes the coverage isn't, the coverage is really tight and it gives those guys up front a little chance to get home. But like I said, I just don't think right now we're working it all on all cylinders, really putting that all together consistently enough to be really good right now.
Terrell, how do you expect Harmon to play this week and how do you balance wanting to get your young guys in there, get them some time, but also knowing that, okay, maybe they don't know what they're doing?
Yeah, we'll see where he ends up at the end of the week, but I think if it does come to it, we'll be pretty judicious with his snaps and try to work him back. More importantly than, you know, he's probably going to lack some football conditioning, football shape, and so you don't want to throw a guy in there that's really not quite ready in those regards. But I like the progress he's making, and we'll just kind of see where we end up at the end of the week with him.
He kind of left the light on there for Derek Harmon in this game. Now, I'm not really holding out hope of that. I'm not expecting to see Derek Harmon until maybe next week in Ireland. But it seems like there's actually some hope from Steelers brass that he suits up for this game.
Yeah, we just, you know, we're thin there right now, so we're going to be, you know, there's going to be a rotation and guys are going to have to step up, and we just got to, I think those guys have to rotate. And again, the one thing is, like you said, you don't want to give them too many snaps, but if you can spread them out and we can get, you know, 10, 15 snaps amongst them, maybe a little bit more, and you get quality snaps, that's what we're looking for.
Terry, why has communication still been an issue, and what can you guys do to?
Well, I think it's, you know, when you look at it, especially in the secondary, there was by the time we got about halfway through the game, I don't think there's anybody that had played for us last year. And so those things take a little bit of time. It's not an excuse. We have to get it done. And so that's what we're really working on. We always have something to do and something to work on. And that's something that sometimes those things happen because in the heat of battle, things move a lot faster than they do in practice. And those things have to be worked on, and you know, we just continue to try to rep it and get in the game. And I think more game situations these guys have together, I think we'll start gelling and playing better and making the right calls and getting in the right spots to give ourselves an opportunity to be successful.
Yeah. Both games, you guys have been beat by the deep crossers for the long touchdown, mm-hmm. where safety goes one way, ball goes the other way. What do you guys have to do differently to handle that when other teams give you that look?
And that can happen because it wasn't something that was unaddressed during the course of the week. So we have to. Those are things that I think sometimes as a coach it gets you a little bit off kilter. Is when there's things that, you know, known things that happen that you work on them and then they still occur in the game because we all know in this league if you show a weakness in something it's going to continue to show up and keep coming at you. And we've opened the door to have those things come at us every week now. And so that's why I get a little bit, you know, pissed off and those things. And we have to be better than that because I think our guys are better than that. And if I thought that they couldn't do it, then, you know, we got the wrong guys in there. But I think our guys can do it. We just got to get it done.
Yeah, well, you've got another new piece on the defense to you and Peppers. How is he assimilated with the weekend? And could he be, in fact, can he play some snaps on defense?
Yeah, he's done well. You can see he's a real pro, understands ball, really worked. I think the thing that I like about him as I watch him through last week when we got him and now this week is the fact that he really tries to communicate and talk things. And I think that's for young guys that, you know, sometimes they don't want to talk for fear of making a mistake, but he's talking and saying it because that way he'll know if he knows it or not. And I really like the way he goes about his business that way. As far as what he does this week, I'm sure we're going to find a role for him. And get him out there on the field because he is a quality player. He is a good tackler. And so I'm excited to, you know, see what he does for us this week.
So there you go. A little bit of Terrell Austin today with the Steelers media. He would go on for a few more minutes with them. One of the more ridiculous things that he did say today is that he didn't feel as if his defense and the guys up front were getting pushed around all that much. I don't get what you are watching. And I know that coaches, you know, they have to have the mindset sometimes that they do know more than the average viewer. Yes, they do. That's why they are coaching at the NFL level. But everybody is seeing this with their own two eyes. Other people that know football are seeing these things with their own two eyes, and they are going to try and tell us, oh no, don't worry, we're not getting pushed around. Don't worry. I find that a bit hard to believe because you guys are getting pushed around quite a bit, and it's ugly. The defense has been bludgeoned in these first two games against teams that really aren't that good. Speaking of offense, let's listen to a little bit of Arthur Smith from today.
Questions?
Art, did you think your running game took incremental steps last week a little bit, or what do you expect to see or hope to do more?
Yeah, I mean, just with anything, you know, you got to continue to improve. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to just really the simple things when you're, you know, off here or there, whether it's in the pass game, you know, running the football. I mean, I thought we had some cleaner runs. It's not where you want to be, and certainly when you lose a game and you get, and then you're playing down in the fourth quarter, your opportunities are going to be a little more limited. But then it all starts in the, you know, first half, third quarter. Chances to really change the outcome of that game, and it usually comes down to a couple plays. You know, overall, you know, extending drives, you know, those two third and twos that we didn't convert different times on the opener. You know, we end up settling for three or coming out in the first half. You know, get to third and two. And those are things that they add up, and then the unintended consequences if you get down and you're playing at a faster pace, trying to get back into it. So it all goes in. So, but this, the original, yeah, it was a little bit better, not where we wanted it to be, but there's certainly when you lose, there are a lot of things need to be better.
Aaron talked about the importance of being able to run the ball when defenses are giving you a two.
Sure.
How much of a weapon is the quick game, especially having a quarterback like Rodgers, whenever defenses give you that, just in case the run game isn't coming the way you want it to, you can always lean on that?
Yeah, there's a lot of things in the run game that may show up as passes, you know, the way you package things. And I know conventionalism, sometimes people call run alerts RPOs, and really, you know, everybody does it a little bit different. You know, with the IDP rules, you don't see as much as that as you were seeing during the last couple of years. Certainly things we did early on in Tennessee when that was in vogue, when we drafted Marcus coming out of Oregon, you know, true RPOs that you see in college football. But a lot of people, they put what they call them, run solutions, run alerts. You know, they go in, you know, go in as pass completions, but a lot of times those are part of the run game depending on how you operate. So that's another way. You talk about there's a lot of space there. You try to take advantage. Again, you know, those were rushing attempts that don't go down, you know, as a run. But at the end of the day, though, when you get down in the red zone and you got an opportunity, and people, for the most part, you know, no matter who you're playing, they're usually going to play some kind of shell coverage unless they're expecting a runner and they're trying to heat you up. You've got to be able to take advantage of that. I mean, it's just math, you know. Your numbers are, you're at an advantage, and we got to, and if you don't execute, and sometimes you give credit to the defense, and sometimes we got to do little things to help ourselves.
How much did you anticipate the run being a part of this offensive identity?
In terms of when you say identity, because that could be very vague, is there got a reference point you're talking about in terms of identity? I've heard that term a lot in football over the years, but, you know, it's like one of those, like, coaches get there and say, we want to be fast, physical. It's like, yeah, we don't want to be slow and soft. So I'm just curious what you're referring to.
So that's him, and that's Arthur Smith in a response to Brooke Pryor there about the run game being more of this team's offensive identity. The Steelers have not been able to run the football this year. That's maybe their biggest offensive issue, and I don't think it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it's the pass game. I think it's some offensive line work in the run game and just their...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lack 412-928-9370. You can hit us up on the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Donnie Football with you for a little bit longer tonight on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan. Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass. We do have a Thursday night football game to dive into here, Joel, and it can be heard right here on The Fan. with pregame coverage beginning in just about 20 minutes. Dolphins and Bills. The Bills 2-0, the Dolphins 0-2. One of these teams looking like one of the best teams in football, the other one looking like the worst. Now, weather won't be a factor. It is a near perfect night in Buffalo, even though some of the Dolphins, including Tua, decided to wear a winter jacket into the stadium. It's amazing to me that that team like cannot operate if it is below 50 degrees. Like how much worse they are when the weather gets a little bit cold and they have to come up north. I mean, they have a very bad history of that. They had a showing in the playoffs a couple of years ago where it was well below zero, I think, in Kansas City. But we have also just seen historically in the last few years, like the Mike McDaniel era, the team slows down a whole lot when it is colder in the year, later in the year, and you're playing big games. But it is an 11.5 point spread in this game, and I think that it is going to be a bloodbath. And I have that feeling in me where I'm so confident that Buffalo will win this game going away and they will dominate in every facet and they will very easily cover the 11.5 points. We picked this game as part of our PM team picks, and you can go find those on our podcast page. My feeling for this is that it could have gotten to like 14.5 and maybe even 15.5. And that's where I would have drawn the line. Because I think 15 was that barometer I was at here, Joel. But I'm so confident in them dominating. Just my luck, the Dolphins will go out there tonight. They will look great. Buffalo will look skittish. They won't be able to get out of the starting blocks. And Miami will either make it a game or just win the game outright. But I just get the feeling that Buffalo is going to brutalize them for 3 hours tonight.
I have a score prediction. Do you have a score prediction?
I don't have an official score prediction, so you can go ahead first with that.
I think it ends up something like 37-14 Buffalo tonight. And it's probably on par with whatever you have for the game as well. I'm trying to think of ways where the Dolphins can keep it close, and I just can't. We're talking about a team who's probably going to be picking in the top five of the 2026 NFL draft in Pittsburgh, and we're talking about another team who's probably picking in the back five of the first round. I wouldn't be shocked if Mike McDaniel is terminated as Dolphins head coach tomorrow, if it's that kind of a bad loss tonight along those, if they lose by three possessions. I'm with you. It's going to be pretty ugly.
Yeah, my feeling on him, I did say before the year that Mike McDaniel would be the first coach to get fired. And I also said I don't expect him to be their coach when the Dolphins are here in mid-December. I do think something like that is on the table. Pony brought it up in week one. He said, I wouldn't be shocked if the seat gets really turned on high, or maybe they even make the decision after week one if they go into Indy and get blown out, and that's precisely what they did. Now, maybe the Colts are a little bit better than what we were giving them credit for. I still think water will find its level with them, but the Dolphins look like a pretty hideous bunch. And the Bills have what I think right now is the best player in the game. He's the best quarterback, and quarterback holds such an importance. I think it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and a gap even before you get to Patrick Mahomes at this point and anybody else. I mean, Allen can just so easily take this game over. And even if he doesn't, James Cook is somebody who is finally starting to get more respect on his name. because I've thought for a while he is a player that should get some more love, is James Cook. He's a very good weapon to have in that offense, and I think Buffalo is going to win this game at pretty much every single level and dominate at pretty much every single level and run away with this thing. Yeah, I mean, I think you said 37-14, maybe like a 35-10, 38-10, something along those lines. That's what I envision, but that very rarely actually comes to pass. All it takes is like an early turnover for points, and then right there, the Bills are playing a little bit from behind. If you're a betting person, you're playing from behind when you see the spread in this game. But I do like Buffalo to cover that 11.5. What are some other best bets that you have for this game, Joel, before we get into a little same-game parlay?
Another that I really like, so I really think that the Bills could be covering the full game spread of, what, 12.5, I think it is. Maybe it's 11.5, shifted down. I think they can cover whatever the full game spread is. I think that it can cover that at halftime. So the Bills minus 7.5, first half spread is one that I really like. If it's going to be one of those where they're winning by, you know, 20-plus at the end of the game, they're probably leading by 8 at halftime. So that's one that I really like. I like James Cook to score the first touchdown tonight. Simply just Bills, if they get the ball first, they'll go down and drive. James Cook scores. If Miami has the ball first, they're going to go 3 and out. Bills get the ball. James Cook scores. So James Cook, first touchdown tonight.
I love James Cook, and I have him on multiple fantasy teams, including a dynasty team. I have really bought into the James Cook stock. James Cook and Nico Collins are two players that I have on multiple fantasy teams. I always have the fear, though, that anytime they get relatively close to the end zone, that Josh Allen is just going to snake away another touchdown from James Cook. That might be part of the reason why he's still a little bit unknown. I think now a lot of people know who James Cook is. But you hear so many times that it's Josh Allen and everybody else. Now, James Cook is a really good football player. It's about time we give him some credit. It's not just Josh Allen and everybody else. He has himself a pretty good player. But Joel, a same game parlay that you have for tonight.
Tyreek Hill of the Dolphins, 40 or more receiving yards. Khalil Shakir of Buffalo, 30 or more receiving yards. And another very under-the-radar signing that the Bills had this offseason, bringing in Josh Palmer from the Chargers. Josh Palmer, 20 or more receiving yards to make plus 130. Tyreek Hill for 40, Khalil Shakir for 30, Josh Palmer for 20.
Oh, okay. I like that
plus
one,
plus 130.
Joel.
Just simple. I like to call it a fastball down the middle.
You might have to send me those in writing so I can get them in before kickoff, which comes your way in just under an hour. But pregame coverage starts in just about 10 minutes time. Fan Twitter, you can hit us up there at 93.7 The Fan, which is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. A thank you to Joel Nelson for his fine work behind the glass. A thank you to the folks that joined the conversation tonight. Thursday Night Football on the air next, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. Donnie Football signing off.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.